pray together.
God, we just thank you so much for this time that we have to be with one another and, most importantly, in your presence. For God, you have told us that whenever two or three are gathered in your name, that you are right there with us. And so, God, we trust in your presence and we thank you for being here. Open our hearts, open our minds, and open our spirits that we might truly hear what you have to say to us tonight. All of this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. This summer on the middle school mission trip, a bunch of guys were sitting around playing guitar, and just kind of, there was one guitar and three guys that could play, so we were kind of passing it around the circle. And I was there with two high school guys from a church in Utah, I think. And we were just kind of taking turns playing songs. And one of them started this song that I had never heard before. And the opening words were these: "What does it mean to be saved? Isn't it more than just a prayer to pray? More than just a way to heaven? What does it mean to be His? To be formed in His likeness? To know that we have a purpose?" Not long after I was home, I went and found that song because I wanted to listen to it over and over again. Because it addressed, for what seems to me, a general misconception in the world around us. A lot of people outside of the church seem to think that we Christians just want to be Christian so that we can get to heaven. And we don't really care about them. We're going to heaven. We're good. And at times I think they feel like we're saying, "Good luck finding your way to heaven. I'll meet you there if you find it." But that's not who we're called to be as Christian people. That is a common misunderstanding, that we get saved just to avoid punishment, or that we turn to God so that we can eventually escape this miserable world upon our death, that we can put up with the world the way that it is because of the promise of paradise in the world to come. But is that the main thrust of the message that Jesus preached? The answer, quite simply, is no. Did you hear the guy on the video clip? That's N.T. Wright, the writer of that, or the author of the book Simply Christian, that's been kind of guiding us for the last 4 weeks, and is going to do another four or five more. But he said that Jesus, let me read it. Right. Jesus had very little to say about what would happen after we would die. That wasn't the focal point of what he was talking about. Instead, what Jesus spent most of his time talking about was the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven. And he says, N.T. Wright says, that's not that place out there somewhere. But it's anywhere that God reigns and God rules, even right here, right now. I want to look at a couple of scripture passages really quickly, and they'll appear on the screen. Matthew 4:17 and Mark 1:15. These two verses are, in Matthew and Mark, the beginning of Jesus' public ministry. These are the first words that he preaches in Matthew. And he says other things before them in Matthew. But in Matthew and Mark, this is the first time that he's preaching. And he says this: "Change your life. God's kingdom is here." That's Matthew's version. Mark's is a little different. He says, "Time's up. God's kingdom is here. Change your life and believe the message." Notice that he says, it's here. It's not a someday thing. It's not an out there kind of thing. The kingdom of God is a right here, right now reality. For those of you that have been here for a while, you know that I've said this often, but I'm constantly amazed at just how earthly Jesus' miracles are. How there's at times not really much of a spiritual element to them. Somebody's hungry, feed them. Somebody's hurting, heal them. Somebody's in need, meet the need. Jesus didn't say, well, you're poor now, but wait till heaven, it'll get better. He didn't say, you're sick now, but wait till after you die and things will be better. He met the needs now, here and now. He ate with tax collectors and sinners. He saved a woman who'd been caught in adultery from stoning. He fed hungry people dinner when there wasn't enough food and provided wine to a wedding that had run out. He didn't try to get people to think right about God or to behave right, but instead he emphasized loving people and being in relationship with God. Jesus's message was a message of meeting the needs of the people around him, of ushering in the kingdom of God in very real and special ways, right here, right now. In N.T. Wright's book, Simply Christian, on which that video series is based, he writes these words: the whole point of Jesus' work was to bring heaven to earth and join them together forever, to bring God's future into the present and to make it stick there. To bring God's future into the present and to make it stick there. There's this essence that the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of earth come together in places. There are intersections where God's reign comes down right here with us. It's not something we necessarily have to wait for, but we can surrender ourselves to, even in the here and the now. The intersecting of God's world and the world we live in. Jesus was that perfect intersection of the kingdom of heaven and the earthly. He was fully God and fully human. Do you remember that from confirmation class? The incarnation, Jesus was fully God and fully human, 100% God and 100% human. And every year I teach this to confirmands, I struggle to explain that. How can you be 200% of a person? How can you be fully God and fully human all at the same time? I like what N.T. Wright talks about. He talks about an intersection of heaven and earth. And I have, if you pop on the screen, I'm skipping around a little bit. So there's a Google map. There it is. That is actually County Line Road in 83. I just randomly picked that. That came up. But if you are on County Line Road and you're in the middle of that intersection, which road are you on? And it seems to me if we're going on 83, we say, well, I'm still on 83. But if we're on County Line in the exact same spot, turned and facing a different way, we would say, I'm on County Line. You're in the same place. At that moment, it's fully both roads. It's fully County Line and fully 83. You're just in the middle of the intersection. And I think that's what N.T. Wright is getting at in this understanding of who Jesus is, that he's fully, he's an intersection of the kingdom of heaven and the kingdom of the earth right here, right now. We see what it's like to be with God as we understand Jesus. So what does all of this do for us? Maybe you find it interesting, but here's where I'm trying to go with all of this. Like that song says, I want us to change our idea of what it means to be saved. To think of it as more than just a way to get to heaven, but to see it as more than just an escape to a new mode after we die. And instead to realize that we are, as the song said at the end of it, the part I didn't read, it ends with, to be salt and light in the world. Our call is to be the presence of God in the world, to be intersections ourselves of the heavenly and the earthly, to be holy gods, but also right here with our feet planted in the world. Jesus calls us not to simply be about getting into heaven, but about bringing heaven to earth and allowing God's reign to rule in our hearts and in our lives every moment of every day. And so Jesus' primary message was about ushering in the kingdom of heaven to the world we live in right here, right now. to be intersections of heaven and earth in this place. On the one hand, it's not enough just to preach about Jesus. We have to act it. But on the other hand, it's not enough just to act it without the words behind it. We need both. We need to be actors and believers, sharing the gospel through what we do, preaching through our loving action to meet the needs and share the gospel. I think this opportunity that we have this Saturday to move dirt is a great example of what it means to be people of the kingdom, but also of the world. Meeting the needs of a neighbor just because the neighbor is in need, but doing it as an expression of our faith and sharing the gospel with her in very real and very powerful ways. Not in what we say, but in how we act, in what we do. Today is World Communion Sunday. It's a day when people all over the globe, Christians all over the globe, gather around tables to share together in the bread and in the cup. And on World Communion Sunday, I thought it was appropriate as we were talking about being kingdom people right here, right now, to share with you these words from a book called The Lord and His Prayer. It's a book on the Lord's Prayer, and when the author gets to the part about "Give us this day our daily bread," he concludes the chapter this way. So finally, he writes, "Communion is the place where, precisely as the people of Christ, we have the responsibility to come on behalf of those in desperate need, not least hunger. Jesus celebrated the kingdom by sharing his feasts with all sorts of people, and so should we. Here is a practical suggestion. It's only a start, but it's better to start somewhere than to leave everything at the level of grand general ideas. The next time you come to communion, bring with you in mind and heart someone you know or know of or have seen on television who desperately needs God's bread, literally or metaphorically, today. Bring them with you. Let them kneel in your mind's eye with you at the altar rail, and let them share the bread and wine with you. And as you return, strengthened by God's food, ask yourself what this new friend would mean when she or he prays, 'Give me this day my daily bread.' Then ask how you might be part of God's answer to that prayer. After all, we ourselves are only at Jesus' table because he made a habit of celebrating parties with all the wrong people. Isn't it about time we started to copy him?" Let's pray together. It's so easy at God at times to forget that we are kingdom people. That as we surrender our lives to you and you rule in us, we become citizens of your heavenly kingdom. And then sometimes when we realize that, we forget that we're citizens of the world, brothers and sisters around us in need. And so today, God, we pray that you will remind us of both of our citizenship, and that you will strengthen us and encourage us to go forth from this place to usher in your kingdom by loving the people that you put in our lives each and every day, by sharing a word, by lending a hand, by listening to a need, by sharing with what we have with those who do not. Remind us, O God, remind us tonight that we are yours and that you have called us to live generously, to share with those around us. All of this we ask in the name of our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. I'm going to ask Pastor Bob to come forward at this time to lead us in the sacrament of Holy Communion.